Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, September the 3rd, 253rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, birthday boy, Bill McCauley.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm older than you.
You old duffer? Yeah.
For a week.
Yeah. That's it. And then you're leaving town, so I don't even get cheap shots at you later this week.
Well, I hide is what I do.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Going into hibernation?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Long naps?
Long naps are good. Yeah.
Yeah, remember we used to laugh about that?
Exactly.
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Now I wish I had honed that talent.
Yeah, he makes you envious sometimes. Some days. Not most days, but some days.
Most days. Got a couple different things to kick around. We'll do it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with aging CPA, Bill McCauley.
Thank you, Brian.
Just let that sit there for a moment.
Yeah, that's. You know, people are going to wonder why you mistreat your guests so badly.
Oh, I don't think so. Okay, here's our quote. Are you ready?
Sure.
This is particularly timing for your nap references before we got things rolling here. Jerome, 1859 to 1927. Has a chance of being authentic.
A man so bright they named him twice.
Yes. It's impossible to enjoy idling unless there's plenty of work to do.
Well, that has some wisdom to it.
Yeah. Geez. So, you want to talk about what you got or you want to talk about what I got?
Well, we can, there are a few things going on in the world, but...
Let's catch up with that, and then we can...
But not a lot. I mean, the world is relatively quiet on the tax front, you know, just because other things seem to have captured the imagination of, we do have the incoming Affordable Care Act.
Is that starting to clarify?
Sort of. I mean, you know,
my impressions are pushbacks are continuing to be thrown out, so we still don't know what we're talking about.
Well, I mean, one of the challenges is it was an enormous undertaking. This law is a huge deal. I mean, and about half the deadlines that were specified in the law haven't been met, and probably not because somebody wasn't trying, probably because it was just such a huge undertaking that. That it would be extraordinarily difficult to hit them all. But some of them are more conspicuous than others. I can't tell you more than two or three of them. But I do know that as an example, you know, we're all aware now that the employer mandate has been pushed back a year. And I think it's clearly because nobody was really ready for it. And if you're a little more skeptical, you might think it was because of the midterm elections a year from now. But I think it would have been that many more things, that many more moving parts that were perhaps not ratcheted down to the degree they should have been. And so it might have been so I understand why why some of these things have been postponed. But we do have some idea that the individual mandate is going to go forward. And if you don't have health insurance through your employer, you're going to be required to go out and find it. It is not entirely clear from people I've spoken to in the insurance business what kind of policies are really going to be in the exchange. And some folks have commented that they won't be really good policies. They won't be super attractive policies that are there. That's just me repeating what somebody else said. I have no personal knowledge one way or another about that. But, you know, we're going to see with this, you know, the individual mandate, if someone fails to get insurance, then they're going to be, you know, per person in the household, you know, there's going to be a penalty of the greater of 1% of the income or $95 for the first year, and then it starts going up, and eventually it ends, I think in 2016, at $695 a person or 2.5% of income. Well, if you think of a family of four and 2.5 times 4, you know, that's a big number. So you could see some, you know, a family of four with making $50,000 and electing not to have health insurance, they could have a $5,000 penalty. That's a pretty big number.
Now, is that anticipated to be paid with a check, added to the tax returns? What kind of mechanism is in place?
My understanding is that will be computed with the tax return, but I'm not entirely sure how that's going to play out. But my understanding is that will be included in the tax return. So you know, it's one of these things that for taxpayers who don't have health insurance, beginning for 2013, you can expect your tax return is probably going to be more expensive than it was before if you're paying somebody to do it. And if you're doing it yourself, have fun. It's going to be.
I was wondering if that's also kind of pushing it into having a preparer do it rather than some of these softwares or, you know, the old-fashioned way, trying to do it on your own.
Well, I think there are some software programs that are going to try to program for it, but it's going to be challenging and complex, and there's going to be terminology, you know, tax-related terminology that's included in the instructions and, you know, how things are done that are probably going to be a little confusing. So it's going to be an interesting trip. Now, keep in mind that what we're really talking about is 2014, not 2013, because you know the 2013 returns are not going to have that consideration. But when you do your
because it goes into effect January 1,
right? So it's effective January 1, 2014, and so it'll be the 2014 return where the additional complexity is going to come into play. If you are covered by health insurance, in most cases, it's going to not be a big deal. If you are not covered, then you've got a lot to be paying attention to. Now, the exchanges are supposed to be available here, you know, the start of next month. So, time is nigh.
Ooh, old timey word. KINS News and Information Times 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the wise and aged one.
Yes, it's nice to be here, young man.
Yeah. You know, as long as he doesn't bring up the hair thing, I'm probably okay for the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. However,
I can't see your hair. It's way up there.
Yeah.
I only see the stuff on your chin.
Yeah, fair enough. Yes. Oh, if the state is the feds are looking at the Obamacare and trying to process that, what about the state, Bill? Because we've got the cover blank, whether it's Oregon, Washington, California, pick a state. Where they're trying to do the rollout for everybody to sign up and, you know, I'm sure there'll be some pressures applied for everybody to enroll too.
Yeah, we're up in Oregon a bit, and there's advertising on TV for the exchange up there, and basically, states had a choice whether they would operate their own exchange, which is where the exchange is where you go to find health insurance packages,
kind of like a marketplace.
Yes, and many of the states decided to form their own exchange, and then. A number of the other states decided to pass on that whole thing and just go in the exchange that's created by the feds. So it depends on from state to state as to what's really happening. California will have its own exchange, and so yes, there is a big push out there for people to participate and get in, and really, I think it's going to be important. It's going to be incumbent upon the uninsured to either assess, can I have coverage at my workplace? If not, I need to get and talk to somebody who can help me figure this whole thing out. And my advice to you is find somebody who feels knowledgeable about that, because there are going to be a myriad of choices available and a lot of complexity. So you want to have somebody who you feel like is really on top of their game with regard to going to you can go to the exchange by yourself, or you can go to a broker who'll go to the exchange for you. So there's different ways of approaching it. If you go by yourself, you're missing out on a chance of having somebody who maybe could refine your choices for you a little bit based on their experience. So good luck. It's not going to be necessarily pleasant, but maybe after the first few times through, after a few years at it, maybe it'll all settle in and be okay.
Other than as an expense, is there? I would imagine the deductibility is going to be kind of verschlunken just because everybody's involved with it. What's it going to do to healthcare costs as either deductions or write-offs?
Well, it doesn't really change the existing law. The existing law, however, some people will go to the exchange and they will be entitled to credits, and so those credits. Yeah, we are now being told that the credits and the exchange are now expected to average $2,700, and that $2,700, I believe, is a family number, but it's going to be a very if you think that $2,700 is not going to cover the cost of the insurance, so. People are going to have to come up with money out of their pocket to pay for the insurance, and that is going to be challenging in some cases. And for people who are already on a tight budget, it's a bit concerning that the credit won't be enough. But the way you'll get your credit, at least the preliminary determination of the credit, is as a monthly reduction of your premium. So as an example, if your premium is determined to be $500, and you are determined in advance to have a $225 credit, then you'll get a bill for $475. Or pardon me, for $275, the $500 less the $225 credit, and then at the end of the year when you go to file your tax return, there'll be a determination of the actual credit and a bit of a true up in the tax return, is how it's being described.
Sounds like it's going to keep somebody in the office busy, huh?
It just might. Yeah, it's from our practices perspective, we're looking at it and thinking, okay, it's more to do in our at a time where we have very little extra capacity, and so it is concerning. We're going to try to assess through this fall and into next tax season the number of clients we think who are going to be. Subject to these provisions, so we can have some idea. We can do a good job preparing for the 2014 returns, knowing who's gonna need more work, and maybe there'll be some information we can get in front of them in advance of doing the tax return to try to simplify that process.
Isn't everybody subject to this?
Yes, but if you have insurance, you're done.
Oh.
So. you know, it's going to be a much easier deal. It's going to really just be impacting. I mean, the major impacts are clearly going to be on those that are insured or those that don't have insurance at this point.
So as this plays out, how does that ripple through the states?
Well, as I say, each state has it. Some states have said, "Hey, we're going to participate in the federal exchange, and we're not going to, and they're not going to have to deal with as much of this stuff." Other states, like California, of course, wants their own exchange, and
a whole separate set of reporting measures.
I'm presuming, and a whole separate bureaucracy. So, on the other hand, you know, if you think about it from a states' rights perspective, I think it's good that the feds left that that choice.
It's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the old guy, Bill McCauley.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'll probably talk about you tomorrow, too.
Really?
Yeah, because the older guy, Rex Bone, is going to be on.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So,
well, the good news with Rex is that, if you're ever around him in public, he knows everybody. So. And their kids' names.
Yeah, until that dementia thing starts kicking in.
Well, with Rex, that might be soon.
Yeah. This afternoon, I thought we'd spend a little bit, the second half of the show, talking about, and maybe starting a little bit of a series, of talking about some of the areas of deductions that we kind of blow past in December, maybe touch on a little bit in November, but we really don't spend too terribly much time talking about the various elements. Health insurance and insurance costs would have been a natural to start with, considering the age of one of us.
Yeah, there we go.
However, since that one's still kind of up in the air, we can probably wait a little bit. So let's start with something that's a little bit safer, a little bit easier, and less active for most educational expenses.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason why education costs are have anything that would be considered a break for tax purposes?
Well, the basic theory I think that's been applied with education expenses is, number one, they're of limited duration, and they can be significant relative to a family's budget. So it's one of those things that's requires some planning or requires some assistance. It's just one of those extra things. I mean, you know, when it comes to, I mean, you can make that argument about a lot of things. You could say, look, diapers, you know, might be a cost that, you know, for most of us, hopefully, that wouldn't continue, you know, and be an ongoing cost. But
you know, it's coming up in certain people's futures.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, there's always exceptions to everything. And so,
sure.
You know, and, you know, we, so I don't want to be in any way denigrating the fact that there are families that deal with diapers for a long time.
Oh, sure. But the majority of folks.
But for most of us, that wouldn't be that type of a cost. And, you know, so you start thinking about, from an education perspective, it's relatively, well, in most cases, it's for a defined window, and so the tax code has some benefit built into it, but it's limited. It's not a particularly generous set of provisions in the code. It's designed to help. It's targeted, so therefore it's. You know, the benefit is limited, depending on which provision of law you go after, by adjusted gross income. And adjusted gross income is basically your total income, your wages, your interest and dividends and state tax refund. And, you know, if you have some rental income or you got a little retirement benefit or some other forms of income, you take all those income, that's your gross income, and then you get to subtract some things off to get to adjusted gross income. And that those are things like IRA contributions that could be a portion of your self-employment tax, could be self-employed health insurance costs. There's a series series of things that you get to adjust your income down to till you get to this adjusted gross income number. And that's the one that generally is in play for purposes of determining, okay, can I avail myself of certain benefits?
Now, in the past, we've talked about things that you can do in preparation, savings. The savings bonds, the double E savings bonds, and the fact that typically tax law is structured to incentivize certain behavior patterns. So if saving for education was really something that was desired, it would seem to make sense that the savings bonds, the double E savings bonds for education, would have either a higher deductibility or a higher rate of return. It doesn't seem like it went with either of them, but how does that play out versus saving your ducats and then paying as you go?
Well, I mean, there are several provisions of law that are available for people saving for college. The double E bonds are one vehicle. There's also the savings plans that you can go to the various states. Each state has a savings plan that's set up, and most of them are set up with a brokerage house. And you're able to go and put aside, and grandparents can do it, others can do it, and they can set aside funds that can accumulate during a child's lifetime. And those funds then can be used for educational expenses, and often if they're used for educational expenses, they can be used tax-free, so that the accumulation in those, while you don't get a deduction for putting the money away, the accumulation over the years ends up becoming tax-free. It is tax-deferred until it's used. If it's used for the right purpose, it becomes tax-free.
So what areas of educational costs should we be looking at or monitoring or at least tracking as we go through the year? Let's start with the little guys. Pre-high school, is there anything in there other than uniforms if your kids are going to that kind of a school that could even be possibly or remotely included?
Well, there are some costs that potentially could be covered through an education IRA. But those are pretty limited. The contribution to those accounts is pretty small, so they're not broadly used because of that. And so, as an example, you're seeing that those are those can be used for certain education expenses before college. But most of the other vehicles for education expenses are for college and on
if you've got
level of education.
If you're sending your youngsters to a boarding school, does that, I know it's not that big a thing that are a common occurrence in our part of the world, but it used to be. Kids would be sent down to Cardinal Newman.
My dad threatened it.
Did he send you to Cardinal Newman?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No, military school.
Oh, just flat out military school. Okay. Does that change anything at all, or is it still primarily post-secondary?
Post-secondary, yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. Did he come through with the promise?
I didn't. There was a line draw, and I accepted the line.
I see. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
I don't know.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information, time is 3:46. Perfect timing.
I don't know.
Yeah. And frankly, care about as much.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did I mention that? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sensing you kind of have a certain attitude here.
I've had enough of these old jokes, all right?
Yeah, fine.
I'm getting crotchety.
Yeah. Who are you? So most of the educational expenses that have any impact on tax return or tax indebtedness are college, military, vocational schools, out of high school.
Yes.
Even if you send your kids to private high schools, it's post-high school.
Yeah, I believe you can use the education IRA to pay for some of those expenses before, but most people don't because they're simply trying to, you know, they're looking further out and going, I want to use those.
It compound.
I'm not sure on a 529 plan, which is the other education savings vehicle, I'm not sure off the top of my head if you could use that for high school type education. I kind of think you can't, but I wouldn't want to say absolutely. And I can't think of anybody who's even really asked that, simply because everybody's looking ahead to the big bills.
What are some of those big bills that typically are acceptable, and what are some of those big bills that aren't acceptable?
Okay, here's the kinds of information you need to accumulate if you have a child in going to college. Number one, you want to accumulate the tuition cost, and so that would be generally pretty easy to identify, and it should be reported on a 1098-T from the college. They should send you a tax form that has the tuition and fees paid.
And if they have a plan, like a meal plan, rolled into that?
No, that's separate.
They have to separate that.
Well, they have to give you the detail, because there's a different treatment for room and board. And in general, there's nothing you can do with the room and board costs. In general, those are personal expenses, and there's no tax advantage to be gained with them. There is, however, some advantage for books, and particularly depends on which piece of tax law you're trying to avail yourself of. But there are some situations where you have to buy you must buy the books from the school, and the school owns the bookstore. There's a little different tax treatment in some cases, as contrasted with books that you got on Amazon, which are the exact same book. But the point is, you want to track your books, and you want to make note of whether the books were acquired from the bookstore and were they required to be obtained from the bookstore.
How about iPads, computer networking materials, PCs, if you go that way, printers, things like that, that are now seen as school supplies by most faculty members?
Yes.
Got to have it.
Yeah. There are some situations where certain things can be, if it's required by the school, there are certain situations where that can be an item where you want to keep track of the cost. There are three or four different credit/deduction programs out there, and they each one has slightly different rules. So you just want to accumulate the information and sit down with your tax advisor and go over it with them, and they will help walk you through that.
Thanks for coming by.
Been a pleasure.
You remember who you are?
Sort of.
Okay. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. So thank God, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.